Let's pray. Father, I pray we would just be open to the voice of your Spirit this morning. God, through your Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? Open our eyes to see you. God, open our hearts that we would be thankful for you and toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It is lovely to be here this morning and to open up God's word with you as we look at this story of Jonah. I'm sure quite a few of you would know after Simon announcing it here a few weeks ago that I recently got engaged. So this is Danny, my fiance, is actually just over here. And Danny has decided, we all know that a key part of getting married is wedding preparation classes. But Danny has designed his own wedding preparation classes for me, which basically revolve around watching lots of Liverpool football matches as preparation for my life as a Liverpool supporter's wife and having to endure many hours of painful Liverpool football. So it's funny, when I watch Liverpool, I'm going to get told off for this afterwards. He really is. He's a very, very big Liverpool supporter. So I usually, when I have to watch and have to endure Liverpool matches with Danny, I am counting down the minutes till they're over. I cannot wait till the final whistle goes and I don't have to watch any more football matches. We'll get to half time and I'll be sitting there thinking, yes, I only have half a match more to watch. And then it'll get to the last few minutes and I'm going, yes, I only have to keep going for another 10 minutes. And then it's finally, it's over. And then he's like, oh no, extra time, Rebecca. Like, no, thought it was over. So I really hope this morning when I'm talking that you find this a little bit more engaging than what I find Liverpool matches. And you're not sitting going, oh, come on, Rebecca, be done in 5 minutes. Please be over soon. Hopefully that won't be your experience this morning, but I actually wanted to start with a story about me and Danny. We've just got engaged, so I can go on about a wee bit more about him than I usually be allowed to. So when me and Danny started dating, I had a bit of a habit of being late. For those who know me well, that would be no shock or surprise. But I think it was about our fifth or sixth date in, and we were going for a meal out in Belfast, which was very nice. And I pulled into the car park in the Europa in Belfast, and I was already at this point 15 minutes late for our date. And I knew it's going to take me another 10 minutes to walk to this restaurant, at which point I'm going to be 25 minutes late. That is not good. I can't be 25 minutes late. So as soon as I got out of the car, I bolted and I ran as fast as I could to the restaurant. Problem was, as I was running across the road and was about to step up onto the footpath, my foot caught the footpath and I basically rugby tackled the ground. And everyone around me just went and stopped and stared, and I just got straight back up and just kept running. I think it was the adrenaline was carrying me. And I finally made it to the restaurant and I came in and Danny took one look at me and he said, "Did you run here?" I was completely out of breath. And then I was like, yeah, I did. And he's like, why did you run? And as I sat down, all I could see was blood drip onto the table. And I realised that I cut my hand and he's like, do you want to go to the bathroom? I was like, yeah, I think I better go to the bathroom. So it was a bit of a flustered start to the day. Thankfully, it obviously went well because we're here now. But this morning, I want to chat to you about a man who is also running. Now, unlike me, I was running to something that I was looking forward to. This man, Jonah, who we read about in this story, he was running away from something, and he was actually running away from God. But this man, Jonah, wasn't any old man. Jonah was a prophet. And prophets in the Old Testament were people who knew God, and they were people who spoke on God's behalf and declared certain messages from God to specific people at specific times. And so our Bible reading this morning begins with these sailors and Jonah caught in this crazy, crazy storm. And it ends quite dramatically with Jonah being swallowed by a whale. And I'm sure some of you have Facebook and you've seen the meme, that's a very famous meme where it's like, That escalated quickly. That would be the meme for this moment, where it all gets pretty crazy pretty quickly. However, there is a backstory to this moment of Jonah being swallowed by the fish. And so this morning, I just want to explore with you quickly, what was the cause of this storm? What happened during the storm? And the calming of the storm. So for anyone who likes a bit of structure and a bit of order, that's your order for this morning. I did try to get it into, you know, the nice alliteration points, but I'm not quite Presbyterian enough for that. But anyway, we'll start at the beginning and look at what caused this storm that Jonah and the sailors find themselves in. Well, you see, the reason why Jonah was swallowed by this fish is because he was on the run from God. You see, God had asked Jonah to go to a place called Nineveh and preach there. But Nineveh wasn't just any old place. Nineveh was occupied by people called the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were a pretty rough bunch. Now, I work for Youth for Christ in central Craigavon, just all the estates around those 200 roundabouts that you go on the way to Rushmere. So I know a thing or two about working in rough areas. When people ask me in my first couple of weeks of how Youth for Christ was going, I absolutely love it. I still love it. But my response was usually, I seriously feel like I've just stepped into real life line of duty. It's like the amount of organised crime, paramilitaries, drugs, everything. He's like, it all happens in Craigavon. But it is incredible to see what God's doing at the same time in the midst of it. But when I was reading up about Nineveh, Craigavon actually seemed a bit tame in comparison. You see, in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Jonah, it tells us that the reason God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh is because of the wickedness of the people there, and he wanted to warn them that Nineveh would be overthrown. And that word overthrown, we usually think, does mean destroyed, but it can also mean transformed, which is quite interesting when we hear about what happens to Nineveh later. But God, because of their wickedness, he wanted to warn them that Nineveh was going to be overthrown if they didn't repent and turn away from doing evil and turn to God. So what God wanted to do was offer these people mercy. But see, there was a bit of tension and a bit of history between the Assyrians and the Israelites. And there was a king in the 6th century. He was King Shalmaneser. I always really struggle with Old Testament names. I kind of wish sometimes they were just called Bob or something like that. It'd be a lot easier. But King Shalmaneser was alive during Jonah's time. And Jonah would have watched as King Shalmaneser swallowed up all of the Jewish tribes. And the Jews were Jonah's people. Swallowed up all of the Jewish tribes living in Transjordan and dispersed them into exile. So he didn't have a great history with them. And the Assyrians were actually, they would torture people to the point where they would decapitate people and then they would force their families to parade around with their loved one's head on a pole. I just think that's a wee bit mean. And so you can understand why Jonah was slightly fearful and hesitant about going to Nineveh, because there was a good chance if he went, he might not come back alive. But it wasn't just fear that stopped Jonah wanting to go to Nineveh. Jonah was also very loyal to his country and his people. And because of this history, if Jonah went to Nineveh, he would have to choose loyalty with God and his word over loyalty to his country and his people. So what does Jonah do? Well, instead of being obedient to God's voice and going to Nineveh with this message from God, Jonah decides, I'm going to go on the run. It's like Celebrity Hunted, where they decide, no, I'm going to do the opposite. So he literally says, instead of going from the east over to Nineveh, I am going to go to the west to a place called Tarshish. And he gets on a boat in Joppa and he falls asleep on the boat. Everything's fine. But then the next thing, as they say, the storm's a-brewing and Jonah is woken up to find him and the sailors that he's with in this awful storm and in serious danger. And so that's a bit of the background as to what has led us to this point in our Bible reading this morning. And what is mind-boggling about the cause of this storm is that Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was one of God's people. He knew God. And so he knew that trying to flee from God was pointless. Because David says in the Psalms, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there too." Jonah couldn't run from God and he couldn't hide because God is all-knowing. And Jonah knew this, but yet he still tried to run. But how often do we do that? How often do we run from God at times instead of obeying him, even though we know it's going to end up in hurt and it's going to end up in pain and it's not what's best for us? We do it anyway. Some people who know me will know that I have had quite the up and down relationship with my digestive system over the past wee while. And what I discovered after months of trying to figure out what was happening, and I actually ended up going vegan. Don't worry, I'm not about to tell you all that you have to go vegan, that you shouldn't eat meat, because I do love a steak. But I went on a mad diet and I ended up going vegan, and I discovered during this that gluten and dairy were not my friends. But it's really easy to know that gluten isn't your friend. But it's a different story when you're in a coffee shop and you see a lovely caramel square and it looks so good and you're so hungry and all you can think about is how much you want a wee bit of that caramel square. And so there are many times where I would go and I would have a caramel square, I'd have a wee chocolate bun, I think, oh, it'll be grand, it'll be fine. Even though in the back of my head I knew this will definitely not be fine in a couple of hours. And I would go to Five Guys and I'd see a burger. And to be honest, a burger sandwiched in between two pieces of lettuce just isn't very appealing. So I would go and get a full burger with the bun. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would start to feel a lot of pain. And we have that sort of same relationship with sin, don't we? There's times where we think we know what's best for ourselves. And we see here in Jonah, instead of trusting God, Jonah distrusted God. See, Jonah couldn't see any good reason why God would want him to go to these people. I mean, these people were awful, the Assyrians. Why would God want to show them mercy? And so because he couldn't see a good reason for it, he thought there was none. And so Jonah started to doubt God's goodness. And we do that too, don't we? There's times where we doubt his goodness and where we decide we want to do our own thing because we think we know what's best. And instead of running to God and obeying his voice and his word, we run away from him. And the thing is, when we choose to follow our own path and disobey God, like Jonah, we encounter storms because all sin carries with it a storm. And sometimes the storm takes a while to come. I mean, it's a bit like when people take drugs initially, when they take them, it's great. They're on a high, they get this buzz and it's brilliant, but then the high soon fades and then they're left feeling even more broken and empty than before. And then they just keep chasing the highs. And like, you can't eat loads and loads of food and expect to have like a really amazing body. It doesn't work like that. But there are different kinds of storms that we face in life. There's a parable in Matthew that Jesus talks about, and it talks about a wise man and a foolish man. And the wise man builds his house on rock, and the foolish man builds his house on sand. And the moral of the story is that when the storms come, the wise man's house stands firm because it's built on rock, that's the word of God, and the foolish man, his house falls because it's built on sand. But the similarity between both people in this parable is that both experience storms. But there are different kinds of storms that we can face. So just like Jonah, we can face storms as a result or a consequence of us not following Jesus or being obedient to his word and what he says. But not every storm that we face is a result or a punishment for sin. You see, there are storms that we face even when we're faithfully following Jesus. The Apostle Paul was someone who loved God and obeyed him, and yet he talks about in 2 Corinthians where there are times where he's hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Even Paul faced storms. And so there are storms that we face that we'll have to go through as a result of just living in a broken world or as a result of other people's actions that have nothing to do with us, even when we're being faithful to the voice of God. Just last week, I met with a girl, sometimes the PSNI would refer young people to us, who need a lot of support. And she was honestly one of the most at-risk young people I've ever met in my entire life. And as we talked and as I listened to her, she had so many storms going on. And some of those were very clearly as a result of some poor decisions she had made, like literally running away from police, which never really ends well. And others were, she had found herself in situations that were harmful, but they had nothing to do with her. They were to do with other people, or they were to do with things out of her control. And so we experience different storms in life. And what we learn from this story is that our actions can have significant impacts on other people. Jonah's disobedience to God resulted in a really negative impact for these sailors. They ended up caught in the middle of this awful storm because of him. And we live in a really individualistic society that says it's all about you and your happiness and you do you. But actually, we need to remember and realise from this story that what we do will automatically have an impact on others. And so it's really important that I am following Jesus and that I am being who all that I am called to be by God for you. And it's really important that you are all your God calls you to be for me. And our lives are interdependent on each other. And so what we do will have an impact on one another. And so all of this is quite heavy and quite sobering. And maybe the situation at the minute, I'm sure as the sailors were in the middle of this storm in Jonah, it all felt very, very hopeless. But there is a massive but in the story. And there is good news because God intervenes. And there have been many moments in my life where there's been but God moments. A few years ago, I remember going through a very significant storm in my life. And I'll not go into too much detail because you'll be here all afternoon and I'm sure many of you want your Sunday dinner. But it was a time in my life where God was asking me to take responsibility for ways in which I'd missed the mark with him massively. And it was a time where he was calling me to be vulnerable with people. And that was so terrifying. It really, really was. And it took me a while to be obedient and to actually do what God had asked me to do. But you know what? Seeing that storm, God was so, so close. And he used that storm to reveal harmful thought patterns that I had. He used that storm to reveal lies that I'd been believing that the enemy had been telling me. And he used that storm to reveal just places where I'd been putting my trust in other people or in things that weren't him and things that would disappoint me. But he also revealed that in that storm to me just how deep his love is and just how deep his grace is. And so I'm so thankful for that time, not because I disobeyed God, but just I'm so thankful that when we face storms or difficult situations in lives, when we turn to him in them and trust him, he meets us with deep, deep mercy. And he has the power to redeem any situation or storm that we face. And I'm sure there are many people here who have been through difficult situations, whether self-inflicted, like with Jonah, or whether as a result of other people's actions that have nothing to do with us. And in our deepest storms, God meets us with deep mercy. Here we have Jonah. He's tried to run from God. He's got caught in a storm, and now he's getting chucked in the sea. But God still meets Jonah in that moment with mercy in the form of a fish, and he doesn't let him drown. And so for anyone who is facing storms this morning, please be encouraged that no matter how far you have rowed away from God, when you turn to him, there is mercy. And for those maybe facing storms that are not of their own fault, God is with you in the storm. And even though it may be raging or it may even in fact be getting worse, there is still hope because just like God saw these sailors in their distress and Jonah in his distress, he sees you in your distress and he cares about you and he wants to meet you with mercy. And so we move on to the calming of the storm. So I'm sure anyone who's sitting going, come on, Rebecca, finish, we're getting there, we're getting close. And so as the story develops, Jonah spends some time in the fish, and we begin to see a change in his mindset as he begins to take responsibility for his actions. And see, the storms that we journey through can often highlight to us what is important to us or what it is that we rely on to save us. So, for example, some people may rely on their jobs to save them. They may put all of their purpose and meaning into their career, and then they lose their job, or perhaps they lose their business. Or maybe even they get to the very top and they've made it and they're still left feeling empty because they've been relying on something that isn't God to save them and to fulfill them. And we see here in the sailors, when the sailors are trying to figure out a way to save themselves from this storm, first of all, they start praying to their false gods and they don't answer them because there aren't any other gods aside from the Lord. And then they decide, right, okay, our gods aren't working, so let's try and row towards the land ourselves. And they start to rely on themselves to try and save themselves in the situation. But that doesn't work either because the storm just gets worse. And so we see a transition here where then they realise actually it is only God that can save us. It is only the God that Jonah talks about who can save us. And so they cry out to him and God rescues them and saves them. And so storms can be an opportunity for God to reveal sin in us, but it's also an opportunity for him to reveal his grace and his power. And they're an opportunity where we get to see his goodness and his faithfulness to us, just like he showed Jonah and the sailors his goodness and faithfulness to them. And in the storms, he can use them to help us become more like Christ. I'm sure some of you know of the singer Camila Cabello. She was on The One Show a few nights ago, and she was talking about her new music video. And she said that her new music video is basically like a classic Disney princess story, but it's a 21st century version. And I was like, what's a 21st century version of a Disney princess story? And basically, it's a 21st century version because it's not a Prince Charming who comes to save her in the story. It's she saves herself. And we see that message loads in the world today. But actually what this story tells us is that we can't save ourselves. It's God, and it's only God who has the power to save us. And he wants to do that. He wants to save us. He wants to show us mercy because he's a compassionate God. And so we learn from this story that God's mercy isn't exclusive. It's not for one type of person. See, there are three different people in this story who receive mercy. Firstly, we have the sailors, and the sailors were pagans, so they were seen as like the typically immoral people, even though they're actually the people in this story who show the most kindness, even more so than Jonah. And we see how they're caught in this storm that isn't of their own making, and God shows them mercy and that he calms the storm. And then we see Jonah receives mercy when he's thrown into the sea, even though he's the one who has brought this on. When he's thrown into the sea, God sends the fish to save him and shows him mercy and gives him another chance to go to Nineveh. And then we see the people of Nineveh actually receive mercy. They were the people who were cruel, who were unkind. And even though God was angry at the things that they'd done, he still cared about them enough that he wanted to give them a chance to repent. And he wanted to show them mercy. And it's funny, in this story of Jonah, the people that we expect to be least receptive to God's mercy are actually the people who are most receptive to his mercy. Everyone in this story needs grace, and everyone has the opportunity to receive it. So whether you feel worthy or unworthy this morning, or whether you are someone who has walked with Jesus for a long time, or who's never walked with Jesus, we are all dependent on the grace of God, and God wants to give you his mercy. And I work with young people, as I said before, in Youth for Christ. We work with really at-risk and marginalised young people. And some of the young people I work with are involved in some awful things, beatings, organised crime, drug dealing. And sometimes when I talk to them, and I see the storms that they're in, their situations feel really, really hopeless. And sometimes I really struggle to see hope for them and see how their situation could be transformed. But this story reminded me that there is mercy and grace for everyone and for every situation. and even for those young people. Though change is slow, we see that in this story. If you read on in it, you'll see that Jonah is slow to change, but the change is possible because there's grace. And so we are not just called to be people who receive mercy from God, but we are called to be people who share mercy with others. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't understand how God could offer such wonderful mercy and grace to such awful people. But what Jonah was forgetting is that he also was imperfect, that he also sinned just like the Assyrians. And so there's a challenge for us to recognize our own brokenness before we start judging other people. God forgives us for the times where we act like Jonah, and so we are called to forgive other people and show them mercy, even the people who have perhaps hurt us or wronged us or caused us harm. We're called to show them the same mercy that we've received from God. And I have a practical example of this in the life of a lady called Elizabeth Elliot. I don't know if many of you, I'm sure some of you have heard of the name Jim Elliot. Well, Jim Elliot was a missionary and he was working in Ecuador, trying to reach out to tribes in Ecuador to share with them the good news of Jesus and the gospel. But on a trip to he was trying to get to the Aucas. That's what we'll go with. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. But there's the Aucas tribe. And so him and it was four or five other friends of his, missionaries as well, they were traveling to meet this tribe to tell them about the gospel. But as they traveled to meet them, the tribe killed them. And all of them died. And so Elizabeth, his wife, had been out in Ecuador with him. And she faced a choice. Does she stay faithful to what she felt God had said to her and Jim? And does she try to reach out to this tribe? Or does she, like Jonah, run away and say, no, no, I'm not going there. I've seen what they've done. They've hurt me. Or seen how these people act. But after a couple of years, she decided she would stay. And she continued to be a missionary in Ecuador. And after a couple of years, she had an opportunity to go to this tribe. They invited her and some other missionaries to meet them. And she had a very young daughter at the time, and so it was quite risky going to meet them, having known that these were the people who killed her husband. But she decided she would go. And she then spent years working with that tribe and ministering to them. And when someone asked her about why she continued to minister to the tribe who killed her husband, she wrote this: as long as this is what the Lord requires of me, then all else is irrelevant. She wasn't thinking of herself. All she had in her mind was focused on Christ. And she showed the same compassion and mercy that God showed to Jonah and to the sailors and to the people of Nineveh. And she also said this. She said, we have proved beyond any doubt that God means what he says. His grace is sufficient. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We pray that if anywhere are fearing that the cost of discipleship is too great, that they may be given a glimpse of the treasure in heaven promised to all who forsake. God calls us to be people who follow his voice and are obedient to him and not to run from him like Jonah. And as I was reading this story and seeing God's mercy in it, it also reminded me of the gospel. I don't know if any of you are X Factor fans. Really sorry if you are, because it just got cancelled. But you always see at the start of X Factor, at the start of Britain's Got Talent, excuse my poor attempt at this, but there's always this big voiceover that goes like, tonight on the X Factor. And then you've got your wee preview of what's about to happen. And so I was thinking about if I was to make the New Testament into a movie or an episode on the X Factor, and I was to summarize the Old Testament into two words, it would probably go a bit like this. He's coming. So when I read the Old Testament, and the more and more I read it as I get older, the more I can see the gospel in it, and the more that you see Jesus and the echo of the gospel in the stories. And this story of Jonah is no different. Though there are many differences, I have to say, between Jesus and Jonah. Here we see Jonah, a man who sacrifices his life Whether for selfish or unselfish reasons, you can debate that. But he has sacrificed to save others on this boat. And he sacrificed because of the wrong that he did. But Jesus, God's Son, sacrificed and laid down his life, not because of anything he'd done wrong, but because of the wrong that we had done. And he gave his life not because of the pressure of a storm or because he had to. He gave his life freely so that we, me and you and I, we could know God and be in relationship with him. And he did it because he loves us. And so he offers you today mercy, and he offers you a relationship with him. And it's our decision as to whether or not we'll accept his mercy and this offer of relationship with him and turn to him, or whether we decide to run away from him. And so whatever storms you might be facing today, just know that there is deep, deep mercy in them when we turn to Christ. God is a God who cares so much for his creation that it angers him when we hurt one another and reject him. But he is a God who is compassionate and doesn't just show mercy because he has to. He loves to. He loves to show us mercy, and he wants to save us and transform us, just like he did with Jonah. And so in every twist and turn that life may take, there is grace for you. And let's be people who, like Elizabeth Elliot, do whatever he requires of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a compassionate and merciful God. And we thank you that you showed us this through your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, would you reveal yourself through your Son to us this morning? God, would you lead us in your ways, teaching us to submit and be obedient to you, knowing that in you there is life and life in its fullness. And Father, for those whose storms may rage on even after this, God, I just pray that you would give them peace, a peace in their hearts and their minds that surpasses all understanding. And God, as they call out for you, would there be a peace that comes from knowing that you hear and you care. In Jesus' name, amen.